Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And I won't bring up the Nerd Bowl loss to Stanford, 41-23, from your Commodores, Brad. What happened there?
That's a result we'll take, honestly. Stanford with a big win over USC the week before. We're just building the program, so no stress there.
Right. Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. All right, kind of like the Steelers' offense. I'll ask you flat out and then maybe ask you to offer some quantification to this. Do the Steelers need to run the football more?
I think they need to run the football better, no question about it, and more potentially. I think the issue is when Najee Harris is getting hit behind the line of scrimmage on almost every snap, 35 of his 38 total rushing yards were after contact. When that's happening, it's hard to justify running the ball, even if, there's the understanding you want to be balanced and you want to keep the ball out of the Raiders' hands and all those things. It's true, yes, but the best way to keep the ball out of the opponent's hands is to be getting first downs. And so if the running game is not providing that for you, it makes things challenging. But I do think they need to get better in the run game. There's no question about it.
How do you explain, Brad, we were just talking about it a couple minutes ago, Ben Roethlisberger's, I don't know if it's lack of desire or inability or perhaps his receiver's inability to get open more than 10 yards down the field in the middle of the field between the seams. He didn't attempt a single pass in that area last week and I think completed just one up in Buffalo.
It's a great question. It's interesting. I think when you're throwing over the middle of the field, you are taking a bit more of a risk and you are putting the ball, in the defender's way. They can get tipped, things can happen. But you also are capable of having big chunk yardage gains. I think the big thing there is that probably Juju Smith-Schuster over the middle is that option, and he's running these shorter routes. His average depth of target is around 2.5 yards, so he's not pushing the ball downfield. The guy to watch there, I mentioned him a couple times now. Every time I put on Steelers tape, I notice him. It's Pat Freiermuth, and he finally looks like the starter at tight end now. I think he's going to supplant Eric Ebron and continue to get more and more snaps ahead of him. He's a guy that maybe down the seams you can start to target, get some of those big gains because he is that big-bodied guy that can go up and get a jump ball. That might be what is necessary to get some of those plays happening.
Is there any way to make up for just a crappy offensive line? What can teams, because we're beating our heads against the wall here trying to figure out if the guys can't block, what can you possibly do offensively to counter that and have any kind of success?
That's a challenge that, a lot of teams are facing every year, and the Steelers have been fortunate to not necessarily be dealing with that on a regular basis. But it's a lot of the stuff that we saw last year and we're seeing some of it this year, where it's the short passing to essentially turn your screen game and quick slant game into your running game and trying to get 5 and 6 yards on those quick outs and essentially use that as your running component as a way to run the clock, keep the chains moving, but not actually run the ball because the offensive line is so porous. But it's tough because it's not going to lead to a lot of explosive plays, lead to chunk yardage gains, which you also need. So I think some of it as well, though, is, look, it's an early season. The Raiders actually have an underrated defensive front this year. They have not been good in years past. But Max Crosby is our highest-graded edge defender in the NFL so far this year, has been on a war path. And so I think it's also the Steelers just need to catch a break in terms of matchup. The Bills have a decent front as well. And maybe when they play a team with not as strong of a defensive line, we'll see some things open up.
Let's talk about that middle a little bit more. Does Ben Roethlisberger, in your estimation, not have the arm strength, not have the want, or is the scheme not there to throw deep middle or medium middle right now because they've just simply not been doing it?
You know, I do think that it is more of a personal issue with Ben Roethlisberger than it is a team-wide issue. It's something we saw with Drew Brees a little bit as well, a guy who obviously attacked every part of the field and hit every window. When he started throwing over the middle, trying to have velocity on those balls, fit balls into tight windows over the middle, was getting tipped a bunch, was not reaching his receivers. You know, we saw some of those kind of floaty passes that you could tell the guy was used to making those throws and no longer could. But look, Ben's been accurate. I mean, this week alone, he had the fourth highest rate of accurate passes to all parts of the field. But I think, you know, he understands if I'm going to put the ball up and potentially push the ball downfield, I want to put it towards the sideline so only, you know, Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool can make a play. No one else can make a play on the ball because obviously those interceptions are going to kill them. And his job now is to just keep the offense on the field.
Did you notice, as we did, Brad, and Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, with us every Tuesday at 8 o'clock here on the Fan Morning Show, did you notice that two things seemed to contribute to a little bit more comfort for Ben at a certain point in the second half? One was they rolled him out once, and I thought, wow, okay, we're going to give him a little more space. He's not as mobile as he used to be, but bought him an extra second maybe to find somebody downfield. And they also went tempo on offense. They don't have a traditional no-huddle, Ben mentioned after the game, but they went two-minute offense in the middle of the third quarter, and they seemed to find some rhythm there.
Yeah, the tempo thing is something that I think more and more teams need to be doing, and Pittsburgh certainly applies. It just doesn't allow a defense to set up and to call these lines at the line of scrimmage, to react to what the offense is showing them personnel-wise or even just formation-wise. And it doesn't allow these defenses to, you know, key into all their decisions, get everyone in the right spot, and be able to kind of force the issue and impose their will on an offense. So I did like the tempo. As you mentioned with, you know, getting Ben moving out of the pocket, that stuff, just moving the pocket is just good for the offensive line. It helps them. As much as it helps Ben, it also just helps those offensive line guys. And I think you want to see more of that as well. But, yeah, the tempo is something that more teams across the league need to be doing. I think we're seeing a lot of this, and I think Aaron Rodgers kind of made it popular, but running the ball right down to the one-second line and hiking the ball right before the shot clock is about to expire, seemingly every snap, and it just seems like an advantage for the defense. They can get a good jump off the line of scrimmage. They tend to know, obviously, when the ball is going to be hiked. And I think this tempo just keeps them uncomfortable and out of rhythm, and you could maybe expose a mismatch or potentially catch a guy out of place.
Well, Brad, one of our favorite subjects in Pittsburgh is the quarterback sneak that the Steelers just don't run. And you guys have a number for everything, and I did find it. But the success rate on quarterback sneaks around the league is just it's more successful than any other play. Why don't more teams do it, especially the Steelers?
It's incredibly high, you know, and there's some teams that even kind of have a backup quarterback that is, I wouldn't say he's there for the quarterback sneak, but you look at a Jacoby Brissett in Miami before Tua Tagovailoa got hurt, but he is in there to come in and get that 1 yard. You saw Marcus Mariota with the Raiders do that from time to time. Like, it is an extremely successful play. It's a great question. I mean, Big Ben is a big guy. He can still turn those legs. He's not fast in the open space, but he is more than capable of putting his head down, barreling forward, maybe getting a nudge from Najee Harris in the backfield and getting a yard. I do think more teams need to recognize the value in the quarterback sneak and utilize it more often when they're in those third and fourth and short situations.
This is something else that we talk about in Pittsburgh because Mike Tomlin has stunk at this, but did I read right there were zero coaches' challenges during week two, the whole league-wide?
For the first time, they think, since the turn of the millennium, so since at least 1999 was the stat I saw, that not a single coach threw a challenge flag, which is crazy because I feel as though I saw at least a half dozen bad calls by referees this week, which is obviously pretty standard. But
right.
Yeah, when I saw that stat, I said, well, I know it wasn't because the referee was stellar, so that is kind of a crazy number for sure.
It is. Here in Pittsburgh, it's a hotly debated topic because Mike Tomlin just is not good at them. So we're happy here he didn't challenge anything. There's that.
Yeah, for whatever reason, some of the league's great coaches, I know Belichick's not good at them, Pete Carroll's not good at them, you know, and Mike Tomlin as well. So I guess they have to have some sort of fatal flaw just to level the playing field.
Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. What do they do if T.J. Watt is out for any extended period of time? We saw on Sunday you can't replace, you know, Melvin Ingram is great in short bursts for three or four plays here and there, but you can't replace T.J. Watt. So how do they try to adjust? Is it more blitzes? Is it continuing to send four men and trying to blanket in coverage? Where would you go?
Yeah, the injuries to this defense are starting to mount up, and the D-line is concerning, especially if Tyson Alualu is out as well. You already have Stephon Tuitt not playing on the interior. You mentioned Melvin Ingram and Alex Highsmith are good players. They can generate pressure off the edge, but they are not the best defensive, you know, one of the best, if not the best defensive players in the NFL, and T.J. Watt. I do think you're going to have to dial up more blitzes because you need to protect the secondary, especially if Joe Hayden is out. I think a big one could be if Devin Bush comes back healthy, utilizing him on more pressures, you know, letting him play forward. We saw a lot of that with him at Michigan. He is a good pass rusher in occasional spots. So I do think they are going to have to dial up the pressure. Cam Hayward, of course, phenomenal player, our number one interior defensive lineman so far through 2 weeks. We mentioned, you know, solid edge rushers, but if they're not getting pressure, then quarterbacks can sit back and find the open man, which this week for Derek Carr, even with pressure, he was able to find guys open. On the long developing stuff, Henry Ruggs was getting open, deep downfield, stuff like that, and it's because this secondary is just frankly not strong enough in coverage to not have that component where the defensive line is speeding up the opposing quarterback's clock. They need that if they're going to have, you know, a strong defensive success.
All right. What are your thoughts on wearing a necklace to play tackle football with your father's ashes in them? Go.
Ooh, it's a little spooky. You know, I'm sure it brings you, you know, good luck and good fortune. But that is, I was never a person personally playing sports that could do that. I played hockey and I got hit wearing something, and it made the injury even more worse than it would have been, and I never understood why guys wore stuff from that point on.
Yeah, I don't understand Aaron Jones doing that last night. And I just don't. And he's lost the necklace, apparently. All right, last thing for you before we let you go, Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. Your Vandy Commodores play hosted number 2 Georgia this week. It kicks off at high noon. At what point in time on the clock, the real time clock, not the game clock, when will they be down by 14 points?
If it kicks off at noon, I think the over-under should be reasonably set at about 12-14.
All right.
Would be a fair line. I think they're going to get one stop on the opening possession, and then I think Georgia will score their next two drives. So over in about 14 minutes in real time.
14 minutes real time.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff.
I'll tell you this. Here's another point for you. I bet the Georgia defense outscores the Vanderbilt offense.
Oh, my.
I believe that. I stand by that. That was half kidding. Half
That's
kidding.
A great prop.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to find that prop now somewhere.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we do.
Brad, we thank you so very much. We'll chat again next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Brad.
Great stuff. All right. You know what? We might need to put that on our picks.
Wrong unit favorite.
Yes. Well, the Georgia defense had a touchdown in the opening game. You remember they had a return to the house.
What's the line on that thing?
Anyway? Oh, it's 140 something. It's got to be.
Is it in Athens?
They're minus 140 to
Nashville.
Win. No, that's the line.
34.5
in an SEC game.
In an SEC game.
It's in Nashville?
Yes.
If it was in Athens, it'd be 70.
By the way, South Carolina covered that 31 the other day.
Yep, they did. So. Man, is Vandy bad. And Georgia's good. We'll see. They're going to beat them by 43. Points, 45 points.
Speaking of bad.
Man, I wish they'd play Kansas.
See where Kansas is this week?
No, where are they?
Duke.
Oh my God. A bad game?
And Duke's favored by, I think, 15.5.
That's a great basketball game. That's a terrible football game.
15.5.
Duke's favored by 15.5?
Something like
16
that.
16 now. 16.
16.
Jeesh. Can't wait till we pick that. How was that traffic, Jim? Okay, you made it through?
It was outstanding.
28 something else, isn't it?
I never saw the accident.
No.
I mean, it was cleared by the time I got to wherever the heck it had been.
They call that residual effects, I think McAtee does, right? All the traffic people.
Yeah, the residual delays.
Yeah, there
right,
you are.
Right, back to the
So
Route
you were
28.
In the residual, I see.
Route 8.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.